1380 KCIM Sports presents KCIM Sports Rewind. A look back at the week in high school sports, brought to you by St. Anthony Rehab Services. Here's Sports Director Jeff Blankman, John Ryan, and Jeff Honnold.
Well, two out of three in studio, one on the road right now. Jeff Honnold on the road, so he'll be joining us on the phone here coming up in just a moment. So if we're going to talk about Honnold, let's do it now before he gets on the air.
Well, you know, I probably said something nasty enough about him before we even went on the air, so I probably should be a little careful now.
We'll be nice for a while anyway, so but we'll bring him on in a moment. But, yeah, it's a good thing you don't have the state football playoffs coming up. Your voice taking it. Usually it's right in the middle of basketball season and playoffs that you have this issue.
I know. Hopefully this year it happens now and doesn't happen again during basketball season, but I guess this is a wait and see, isn't it?
Yeah, it totally is. But you got through the volleyball tournament. That was good. Let's talk about that. Let's bring Jeff Honnold in on the phone right now. Jeff, you can't believe what the things that Blankman was saying off the air about you. Unbelievable.
I absolutely believe what he says about
off air. Let's talk about the state. What's that?
Greetings from the north. I'm in Minnesota right now, cruising along.
Talking on the phone. Distracted driving. Nice.
Still foggy and ugly, you know.
All right. Let's talk about the state volleyball tournament. Of course, the Kemper Knights came out, played Iowa Falls Alden, and a three straight victory for Kemper in that matchup. Let's start there before we get to the second round matchup. Talk about Kemper and how they did, Jeff Blankman.
Okay. I was going to say, to me, game one was about as good a game as you're going to see Kemper have played all year long. They came out flat, dominated. The block was going. They were getting touches. Their serve and serve receive was outstanding. They were playing that quick style that they really, really want to play. And Jeff, you and I kind of looked at each other and said, if they can keep this up for three matches, they're going to be untouchable down here. Problem was they couldn't keep it up for three games that day. Ended up playing okay in games two and three, but had to rally back in both of them to win them.
Yeah, and I think you and I agreed that it seemed like when they got on a roll, they relaxed with their passing.
Yep.
And they just didn't stay focused on that, and then that kind of train wrecks your offense. So it's not that they were playing bad. It's they relaxed, and with passing, you have to stay on your toes and be ready to go all the time. And I don't think they were, and I think that's what let Iowa Falls Alden back in the game.
And if you talk to the kids afterwards, I interviewed six of them along with coach that day. Every one of them kind of said, yeah, after that first set, we kind of just mentally went, you know, and I don't know if they ever quite got as mentally focused the rest of that match as what they were in set one. There was probably one point where they came really close. They were down 19-12 in game two, and Jeff and I got a little bit of a chuckle out of it just because we know Coach Stickrod so well. We coach club with him and hang out with him some, and just a good guy, but you very rarely see Coach Stickrod ever get where he's actually yelling. He yelled enough that his face got red, and all he yelled was, it's time to go, and that was all it took, and the girls went on a 13-3 run to pick up a win in game number two because they understood what it's time to go meant. That was pretty cool.
The other one I thought was funny is that Jed Amy Adams back there to serve game point, and coach looked at her and said, get it in.
Yeah.
And yeah. I don't know if you could hit any higher rainbow than what she hit.
Yeah, it was match point, and all he cared was get the serve in. She had served a couple of low aces prior to that and really good low aggressive serves. And for that match point, I think it was just get the thing in bounds, let them play it, and then we'll score off of it and end this thing. So, Jeff caught him looking over at her and just saying simply get it in.
Okay, they take down Iowa Falls Alden 3-0 in the opening round. What was their reaction? Waterloo Columbus, they knew, was going to be the opponent in the second round. Prepared for Waterloo Columbus? Had they seen them before? Knew anything about them before?
Watched some film on them and then got a chance to watch them the day before. I think they understood that they were going to be tough. In fact, to be honest with you, Coach Stickrod told me before they even headed down there when the brackets came out that the team that scared him the most was Waterloo Columbus potentially in the semifinals because of the style that they play. And that style is, you know, as he said on, I guess it would have been Thursday morning, about an hour or two before the match, I caught up with him and chatted with him for a while. And I said, you know, I says, if you've had a chance to see him and then watch him on film and study him a little bit more, what do you think of him? He said, they're Dyke New Hartford without the same athletes. And stuff. So that kind of tells you right there that, you know, if you look at the history with Kuemper, they're a great team, great program. They've struggled with teams like Dyke a little bit.
Yeah, and you and I watched that game right after Kuemper's, and they were a tremendous passing team. They were the most patient hitters we've seen in a long time, where a block didn't seem to rattle them. They just figured out ways to get it around the block or off the hands, and I was really concerned going into that match, because they were just a team that was going to cause Kuemper fits just by the way they were patient in what they did.
In fact, I had somebody text me after watching Waterloo the day before and say, how do you feel like Kemper's going to do? If you'd asked me before the tournament started, I'd have given you a 70-30. I actually texted him back 55-45, Kuemper winning. But that's how much Waterloo Columbus had impressed me in that quarterfinal round matchup.
Well, Kuemper comes out and takes the first two games against Waterloo Columbus. What went right in those first two games for Kuemper to take that 2-0 lead?
First game, I thought, Jeff, was very similar to the first game against Iowa Falls. They got out and they played, I don't know if you want to call it that hectically quick style that they love, but they got out and they played extremely fast, and I don't think Waterloo Columbus was at all prepared or had seen anything like that. They were actually making an extremely good libero for Waterloo Columbus look average first set or even into the second set. But I remember about midway through set number two or late, I looked over at Jeff and I said, the last thing that Kuemper can do right now is allow Waterloo Columbus to settle in just a little bit and get a little bit of confidence heading into that third set. Now, I don't know if they did late in set two, because Jeff noticed as they were heading off of the floor in set number two that they looked like a kind of a confused, defeated team. Isn't that what you saw, Jeff?
Yeah, in the huddle. When the game was ended, they had their own team huddle while the coaches huddled up. And the girls were shell-shocked. They had no idea. I think they had thrown everything they could at Kuemper, and nothing was working, and they couldn't figure it out. To the credit of Columbus's coaches, they stood over there and had a little meeting and made an adjustment. And their adjustment was to take their outside hitter and move her in, even with the inside blocker of Kuemper. And that was enough to let that cross-court shot work for them. So give credit to them. But at one point, they had their setter crying and thinking the season was over with, and that coaching staff brought him around.
Was that the turning point of the match? Because game three was 29-27. Kuemper had their opportunities in game three.
They absolutely did, but Coach Dickrod had said that they noticed in watching them and breaking down the numbers and everything heading into the match that Waterloo Columbus liked to go cross 90-95% of the time. It's amazing how that just that step and a half in for your attacker that now aligns you up with that inside blocker allowed them to be able to get that cross shot. And once they got confidence with it, Jeff, then you saw the same team that we saw on Wednesday in the quarterfinal round for them. They were hitting, they were digging, their libero all of a sudden again was the second best libero behind the young lady from Dyke New Hartford at the tournament, and was giving Kuemper some fits with the way she was digging and popping things up.
Yeah, and the difference was they were able to get a nice strong attack at, and Kuemper had to pop the ball up and wasn't really able to run any offense. They had to just kind of free ball or get hit it lightly back across and not able to get a big attack. And then you saw that that back row of Columbus really take charge. And then we're talking about a step. If the block moves one step to their left, that game's probably over. And,
yeah,
and we're not even in game four. And even in game four, if they move over, probably ends it. I don't think they could get around Kuemper's block if they just would have kept staying moving over. But it's hard to make those in-game adjustments, and it's hard to tell your brain that, well, this is where I always block, but they've moved in, and they're blocking the same spot that they always block. Just give credit to those girls from the other side that are able to make that adjustment, and just never were able to get that figured out and get over there and get that stopped.
So Waterloo Columbus takes game three. Now games four and five, tell us the story about that. Waterloo Columbus again takes those two games as well to complete the comeback.
I thought they controlled game four. I thought there was never really any doubt that they were going to win game four once it got started. Game five, they got off to another good start, and I kind of looked at Jeff and kind of had that scared look on my face. And then Kuemper all of a sudden seemed to find a rhythm. Got a little bit of a lead, but as I said to Keith, even in games 3 and 4, if Kuemper got a lead, they could never get on a run to build that lead more than 1 point. I think 2 might have been the largest they led in any of the last 3 games, and they could never build that lead. Would have been interesting to see what Waterloo Columbus would have done if they could have built maybe a 4 or a 5 point lead, especially in that third game. Jeff and I both said afterwards that if Kuemper comes out and puts game 3 away kind of early, you know, even if it's just with a couple of big blocks after the adjustment or got a couple of quick kills and got up maybe 5-1, that match is probably over.
Yeah, again, looking at those, I still think they're one of the top teams athletically in the state. I mean, yes. If they're on the other side of the bracket, I think they'd take out Waterloo Columbus in the final 3-0. I think the confidence would have been flying and they would have rolled right through. They just haven't quite gotten. Part of it, I think, was fatigue. They haven't had to play that many matches at that high a level all year, and I think that got them a little bit, especially in the final, in the semifinals. But we watch a really good Cedar Falls team take on a nice, very good Valley team, but the difference was they never let up. I mean, they were just trying to see how bad they could beat people, and I think that's the spot where Kuemper got into is they would relax. They didn't quite have that, we're just going to try to beat you down with everything we got all the time. And I think that's probably the next step that they need to take. They still got a ton of talent, but that's where I think they're probably one of the best athletic teams in the state. They just couldn't get it pulled off.
And Coach Stickrod taking a lot of timeouts during those games, taking them early, yes, as soon as he saw something, tried to make some adjustments, but it just didn't work.
Absolutely. He tried to get the girls to block cross and take that away in those last 3 games, and it just didn't work out. And as we said, Waterloo Columbus kind of got into a rhythm. And Coach and I talked about it several times. Jeff hit it pretty well there that, they did have a tendency this year to play at a certain level and then maybe relax a little bit when they got a team down, and then all of a sudden the other team would make a run at them and they'd flip that switch. Well, problem is, it's tough when you're down at state, mm-hmm, to be able to flip that switch against teams that are as good as you are or almost as good as you are.
Well, that was certainly the match of Class 3A, the 5-setter between Kuemper that they drop, of course, to Waterloo Columbus. So the season comes to an end. A huge disappointment. I mean, Kuemper had their sights set on that state final, and the other half of the bracket contained Sioux Center, who made it there, but Waterloo Columbus just absolutely destroyed them.
And I think Kuemper destroys whoever they just saw in the final on Friday, too, if they'd have made it through. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right, so that's wrapping up our volleyball season. Jeff Honnold, we're going to say goodbye to you. Of course, you're on the road out there, so we'll talk about the Rewind volleyball team coming up, but we'll see you next week.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right. See
you. Thanks, Jeff.
Jeff Honnold, once again, on the road up around the Minnesota area. He's got to work on his Minnesota accent there.
He doesn't have one quite as good as you.
He's going up there to get some crappie, eh?
Yes.
Oh, super, super stuff there. We'll be back. KCIM Sports Rewind and our all-Rewind volleyball team coming up.
This is Steve Schabel, certified and licensed athletic trainer with St. Anthony Rehab Services. With another Sports Year upon us, we say thank you to the numerous athletes who chose St. Anthony for their athletic training needs. We evaluate athletic injuries for all area athletes at no charge. If you have questions about an injury or prevention and treatment programs, call St. Anthony Rehab Services. Our staff of therapists and trainers provide professional advice on treatment programs to best suit your therapeutic needs. To be your best, you must expect the best. St. Anthony Rehab Services, 794-5000.
BEX is the industry leader in providing the soybean technologies you need. With relative maturities ranging from 1.0 to 5.2, we offer a variety of Roundup Ready to Extend and Liberty Link soybean choices to maximize weed control and protect your yield potential. BEX is dedicated to providing farmers with choices in industry-leading soybean varieties. Contact your local BEX representative to learn more or to place an order today. BEX, helping farmers succeed.
It's KCIM Sports Rewind, putting a wrap on the volleyball season with our all-Rewind volleyball team. And, of course, as always, Jeff, he sat down and talked to the coaches, talked to all the guys that called volleyball throughout the year, came up with an honorable mention team, second team, a first team, and, of course, player of the year and coach of the year as well. So let's start off with the honorable mentions and start with, a member of the Glidden-Ralston Wildcats, Avery Schlombaugh.
Avery had a really good year for them this year. A senior, provided some really good leadership. Nice player in the middle, really good at blocking, gave them some good hitting in the middle. Really kind of helped set the table for them in the future. It was kind of a rebuild year for them. Look out for the Wildcats to be much improved probably over the next couple of years.
So Avery on the honorable mention team. Couple members of the East Sac Raider volleyball team, Brianna Beckman and Kaylee Odendahl, make the honorable mention team.
Yeah, Bri is just a freshman, going to have, I think, a great career. Can block, can hit, can pass, serves the ball well, does a little bit of everything. I think she's just really starting to kind of find the tip of the iceberg of how good she's going to be. And Kaylee Odendahl had a really good year on the outside this year, hitting for them. As always, can pass like every other East Sac player can. Served the ball well for them. I think going to be a really big leader for them coming up next year as a senior.
How about the Audubon Wheelers? Also a couple of representatives on the honorable mention team, Keaton Wessel and Jasmine Turner.
Keaton this year, you knew that she was going to have to be one of their leaders up front, and really did a great job. She's not the most vocal of type of players, and she tried to become that this year and did a really good job with that. You know, with a lot of teams kind of focusing on her, knowing that she was going to be their go-to girl, she still put together a heck of a season. And give Jasmine a lot of credit. Started the year because they needed her as their setter. Their setter was out with an injury, and Gianna Knieven, Jasmine did a great job setting for them, but then kind of transitioned into the back row and played that defensive specialist libero role for them the rest of the year, and did an outstanding job and really had a great year.
I tell you, the Kemper Knights land a couple on the honorable mention team, and it's awfully tough. I mean, this team is so deep. It's hard to, you know, you can put a lot of them up high in this one, but making the honorable mention team off the Kemper Knights, Grace Moloch and Mallory Bating.
Yeah, this team, you know, almost every girl that played probably could have been on it somewhere. They're just that deep and talented. Grace had a really nice season hitting on the outside this year. Had some matches where she was outstanding, had some where she struggled a little bit. She'll try to take that out coming up her senior year, but really put together a very nice junior season. And Mallory Bating is just a sophomore, probably going to be the future. Wouldn't be surprised if she doesn't become their libero next year. Really, really solid passer. I would say the only time that she struggled the entire year was probably up at the tournament up in Orange City. Otherwise, really, really played outstanding all season long.
Now, we're not going in any order here for honorable mentions, so that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, you're bouncing me all over the place.
Peyton, I'm testing you right now.
I see that.
From Peyton Sherdan, Megan Carey.
Megan Carey, just a terrific player. The one thing I would love to see would be her healthy for once. She's got ankle injuries. Has had, last year was one ankle during basketball season. This year was the other ankle during volleyball season. Never seems to get through a sports year healthy. But blocks, hits, serves, passes, does everything very, very well. Works really hard to get better at the game during the offseason. Just one of those special kind of athletes.
Carroll Tigers land three players on the honorable mention team. That's Gina Meshark, Taylor Moore, and Summer Sennard.
Yeah, Gina had a nice year on the outside, led the Tigers in kills, had a good kill efficiency for them, ended up with a really nice season. She had worked with Greg Custer during the offseason, and she had said it many times throughout the year that she jumped and was so much stronger this year. That allowed her to get up above the ball and do more things in her attack, so that really helped her this year. Taylor Moore, still playing inside. I think she's more of an out, but she's playing inside. Had a really nice year for them, and she's playing there because that's where they need her and stuff. But had a great year as a junior. Look for her and Gina to team up to be outstanding seniors next year. And Summer Sennard, just give this girl a lot of credit. She started as a back row passer, all of a sudden sprouted in some height, and then with her athleticism, ended up becoming an outside hitter and worked herself into being a very, very good hitter, and at times might have been their most consistent outside hitter this season.
Let's talk about the IKM Manning Wolves. They also land three players on the honorable mention team. Peyton Gross, Kaya Rasmussen, and Sadie Thompson.
We'll start off with Peyton. Terrific hitter. Had a really nice senior season on the outside for them. A girl that really had not played much varsity time before, but came into her own this year, and you could just see she had a lot of confidence and had a nice shot. She could either go line or she could go cross, and did a lot of things well for them. Kaya Rasmussen, first year kind of getting the chance to be that full-time setter. Even though they ran a little bit of a 6-2, she was their main setter, did a terrific job, outstanding athlete, got to everything. And then Sadie Thompson was their other setter in the 6-2, but also hit out of the right. And Sadie, with her height, could block, she could hit, serve the ball well, did a lot of things well along with setting for them in that 6-2.
So that wraps up our honorable mention team. Let's move on to the second team, all Rewind volleyball team, and let's begin with a couple more. IKM Manning Wolves, Gabby Cadwell and Caitlin Mulbauer.
Impressive hitters. Caitlin in the middle reminds me a little bit of the days when they had, like the Kaylee Blakes of the world and those kind of hitters. Just a very good athlete, extremely strong, dominant type player in the middle. And Gabby Cadwell, whether she's hitting middle or hitting right or outside, doesn't kind of matter for her. She's got the athleticism to hit anywhere on the floor, play some back row for them as well. Just did a terrific job this year. Gabby was probably their most consistent player at the net this season.
Couple of members of the Coon Rapids Bear Crusaders, one win shy of the state tournament, Taylor Pivasdorf and also Jade Hayes.
And Jade, just so much quickness in the back row. If you put anything across the floor remotely soft, I don't care if you're pushing to one corner or another, she's going to get to it, and she's going to put it up there at a place where her setter can play the ball. Just an amazing athlete, a lot of speed, and use that to her advantage. Taylor Pivasdorf, Coach Baker said it many a time, she carried Coon Rapids Baird early in the season until they kind of figured out their rotation and kind of figured out who else was going to be able to do things for them and got some other players going. But Taylor Pivasdorf worked herself into an outstanding, amazing volleyball player, just purely putting in that effort during the offseason, and is a great hitter on the outside.
Well, second team mention also for Emily Danner of the Arweva Rockets.
A girl that is just a terrific athlete. This is a young lady that works at whatever she's playing. Good to see her back out onto the floor after the basketball injury last year knocked her out of basketball and softball and track, and she was able to get back out there this year for volleyball and was the dominant force. If you wanted to beat the Arweva Rockets this year, you had to find a way to stop Emily Danner, and that was not an easy thing to do. She does everything for them, and is just a tremendous player. I still remember she came up to me in the conference tournament and said to me at one point, she says, "We lost to this other team the other night. I will not let that happen again." And I think she went out and had 24 kills in that match. So,
yeah, Emily Dan, a terrific player for the volley for the Arweva Rockets. The Carroll Tigers also had three on honorable mention, one on the second team. That's Paige Kultreiter.
Paige had a terrific year in that back row. Outstanding passer, a terrific libero, great kid. Seems to have a lot of fun back there and kind of takes some of that fun and transitions it out into the kids around her. But just a really, really good libero.
How about the South Central Calhoun, Emma McKinney from the Titans?
Emma really came on this year. Last year as a freshman, you could tell that she had the potential, played well, but at times you could tell she was a freshman. This year she came out and was like, okay, I'm not a freshman anymore. I'm going to be one of the leaders on this team, and had a great year on the outside. This young lady is athletic as you're going to find, hits the ball extremely hard. She's going to be terrific in the future.
How about our final member of the second team All Rewind volleyball team, and that's from the Kemper Knights, Macy Overmull.
Macy, one of those that probably could transition into that first team extremely well, considering when we run through that, she can have a lot of her teammates on that team. But an outstanding setter, gets to the ball well, sets it pretty well, also can hit, can block, serves the ball extremely well. Just a tremendous, tremendous player.
We're going to talk about the first team All Rewind volleyball team, dominated by a couple of programs. We'll talk about that coming up in 30 seconds.
This is Steve Schabel, certified and licensed athletic trainer with St. Anthony Rehab Services. With another Sports Year upon us, we say thank you to the numerous athletes who chose St. Anthony for their athletic training needs. We evaluate athletic injuries for all area athletes at no charge. If you have questions about an injury or prevention and treatment programs, call St. Anthony Rehab Services. Our staff of therapists and trainers provide professional advice on treatment programs to best suit your therapeutic needs. To be your best, you must expect the best. St. Anthony Rehab Services, 794-5000.
It's KCIM Sports Rewind. Don't forget, we've got a podcast of the program coming up after it's done on the line, 1380kcim.com, so you can join us there. Let's talk about the first team, All Rewind volleyball team, and let's begin with a single member of the East Sac County Raiders. That was Hannah Schmidt, our first member of the first team, All Rewind volleyball team. What a
season this young lady had. Knew she had a lot of potential the year before as a junior, but she came out, was a dominating force for a very, very good Raider team that contended and finished in a three-way tie for first place in the Twin Lakes Conference. They sure ended up falling to Kemper in the regional semifinals, but a great player in the middle, blocked. Loved watching her block, went up and hit. If you made an overpass anywhere around her, she was going to get to it with that athleticism. Just a great, great volleyball player, and I think she was one of those kids that kind of made herself into that by working extremely hard.
How about three members, speaking of the Twin Lakes Conference, three members of the South Central Calhoun Titans who fell to Kemper in the playoffs, but we're talking Hannah Seal, Taylor Anderson, and Maddie Jones from the Titans.
Team that would have been good enough to play down at the state volleyball tournament. I think they could have played with an Iowa Falls Alden and probably beaten them. Problem was they ran into Kemper in the regional finals, and just nobody was going to get through Kemper this year in this area. But Hannah Seal, a terrific player, really has come on. This year she took that leadership role, and I talked to her early in the season, and she goes, you know, she goes, I loved playing with Allison, but she goes, I'm kind of glad in a way that this is kind of my team this year, and I can step out of the shadow and take that leadership role. And she took it and ran with it this year. Had a great year. Again, kind of very similar to Megan Carey. I wish she could have been healthy. Battled an ankle injury most of the year, which maybe took away from some of her numbers just a little bit, but she still had an amazing year. Taylor Anderson's got some of the best hands I've seen in a long time as a setter. I talked to a lot of setting coaches and stuff around this area and head coaches around this area and down at the state tournament and other tournaments that have watched her play, and they absolutely love this young lady's hands. They love her leadership. Setters got to be leaders out on the floor, and she's not afraid to get on the other kids if they're not doing things right. She's not afraid to you know, make a point and do things. She's just a tremendous setter. Does a great job of dumping and tipping when the team's struggling a little bit. If you leave the donut opener a back corner, she'll hurt you with it. And then Maddie Jones, just an athletic libero in the back row. Gets to everything, seems to never really be rushed, always seems to be under control, and makes the passes, I would say 95% of the time, right where her setter Taylor Anderson needs them.
I tell you what, there's four members of the Kemper Knights. That's how dominant this program was this year, an outstanding four members on the first team. Let's start with Taylor Promise.
Yeah, and the sad thing is they could have been good enough to probably have six or seven. Mm-hmm. That's how many good players they have. But Kaylee Peter, just a tremendous year. I'm still kind of deciding where she's going to go and play college volleyball, but whoever gets her is going to be lucky. They're going to get a girl that's an extremely hard worker. I say she's almost like a Michael Jordan in a way, because she holds herself and the team to an extremely high standard, maybe sometimes almost too high of a standard, in the fact that she never seems to be happy with the way she played or with the way they played, always just striving to be better, which I think is a great thing. And I think whatever college program gets her is going to have a lot of fun with her. Amy Adams, just about as good and special of a volleyball player as you're going to find, can dominate matches, hits the ball extremely well, able to play back row, does everything extremely well, and she's kind of that go-to girl. When they need a point, Macy generally seems to look for her. Kara Peter, going to be special, already is special. Great hitter. Probably will have to learn to play maybe back row if they want to do like they did with her sister and play her all the way around. Has not really done that, but has the potential to maybe be the best of that batch. And that's saying a lot, because they've got some really special volleyball players. But we haven't even tipped the iceberg yet on how good Kara Peter is going to be, I think. And then Taylor Promise for the last player. I think that Taylor had her best year this year, a three-year starter in that libero role. I think she put together a tremendous year this year.
All right, let's talk about Coach of the Year. A number of outstanding nominees, including the man from Coon Rapids, Baird, who fell one win shy of the state tournament. Rich Baker did a terrific job, among others.
Yeah, tip your hat to Rich with the year that they had down there. Over 20 wins again this year, and consistently does that. He's a guy that studies a lot of things in the offseason, tries to make himself a better coach. You know, he's only been coaching at the varsity level for a few years, was a junior high coach a couple of years prior to that, so he really works to make himself a better coach. I thought Kathy Lage from IKM Manning deserved a lot of credit this year. Kaya Rasmussen and Caitlin Mulbauer were about the only two, Gabby Cadwell a little bit, that had any varsity experience, and I mean, it was just a little bit. Coming back from last year's team, and they still put together an over 20-win season in a great conference. I think she did an outstanding job with a young team. And Danny Flashinger, you lose an elite player, a player that played in the all-high score, the all-senior, all-star game, and Allison Burks, and you maybe become better as a team. You got to give Danny a lot of credit for the job that she did this year.
But the coach of the year that you selected from an outstanding program, but he has built this program to be to this level. He's an outstanding volleyball coach. We're talking about Keith Stickrod of the Kemper Knights.
Yeah, Keith is just an amazing coach. Tell you what, I don't think anybody teaches offense or hitting any better. There might be that some that do it as well around the state, but I don't know if anybody does it better. This guy is just a tremendous coach. You look at what he has done with this Kemper program six times, I think, in the last 8 years. They've been to the state tournament. They've only lost once in the first round, so that means they're a top four program at the minimum almost every single year under this guy. And people can say, well, he's got some great talent, but who took that talent as young kids and helped develop it? He gets some help from some other great coaches in the area, like a Julia Leonard and stuff. But Keith does a lot of work with these kids when they're young and develops them when they're little kids.
Talent just doesn't happen
for
a program. It's built through
Absolutely.
A program, and Keith has done a terrific job there. Let's talk player of the year, a number of players that under consideration, like Hannah Schmidt from ESAC, Taylor Anderson, South Central Calhoun, Kara Peter from Kemper, all in that talk for player of the year.
Absolutely. All of them had great years and deserve to be mentioned for that player of the year. But we had two players that just kind of stood out this year. I thought Kaylee Peter early in the season was kind of the clear player of the year. And then Amy Adams over the last couple of weeks kind of caught up with her, talked to a lot of different people, and we all kind of agreed there wasn't much you could do besides do a co-player of the year this year. You can't really separate how good those two are and what they meant to their team.
So that, again, this is going to be posted online. You can listen back to this program podcasted. Do want to mention real quickly before we end things here, the Senior Volleyball All-Star Game is coming to Carroll High.
Yes, absolutely. 5:30 on Saturday night. You'll have the top senior All-Star volleyball players from around the state of Iowa. There'll be two matches beginning at 5:30. They'll have Hall of Fame inductions inside of that. Kaylee Peter from Kemper will be playing in that. And if you're a fan of the Hawkeye 10, you should definitely go. There's about five or six other girls out of the Hawkeye 10 conference that will be playing in that. You'll get girls from Western Christian, Waterloo, Columbus, Dyke, New Hartford. If you want to watch an amazing libero, go watch Bobby Peterson's daughter from up at Dyke, New Hartford. She's going to be playing at Texas next year. So that tells you how good. You want to watch pure great volleyball, go get a chance to watch this young lady pass.
And it's coming to town this Saturday. 5:30 is this first match?
Absolutely. 5:30 first match out of Carroll High.
All right. Sounds terrific. Once again, that is Rewind for this Saturday, this Tuesday morning here on 1380 KCIM.